Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Peter King, our usual Tuesday conversation. SI.com, senior NFL writer, the Monday morning quarterback, one of the leading voices in all the National Football League. Peter King joins me every week. Thanks for jumping on board on Sports360AZ.com. We also partner with AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sessmatt. Tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, our television show, Brad Sessmatt's Football AZ, that will have several airings tonight. I believe 6 o'clock is the first one tonight, and back-to-back throughout the day, and actually the next 3 days. So you can check that out on Fox Sports Arizona. Michael Fabiano is with us today. Fantasy football, your team blows, and you need help. You need assistance. The NFL Network senior fantasy analyst will join us on the show. So Peter King and Michael Fabiano. I'm a little bleary-eyed today because I was one that stayed up almost to the end. I couldn't quite make it. And I was very unfortunate in the game last night. I woke up after it was over, but the TV was on. It's one of those deals where I'm on the couch, I'm trying to fight it. The Cubs and Giants have turned into must-see, in my opinion, must-see sports. When last night took 5 hours and 4 minutes long, it didn't mean a thing to me. There are people, there's even broadcasters that bitch and moan and whine about the length of games, and those guys need to move on and get out of the business and retire. The length of games, when you saw what happened last night, that's what sports is all about. It was terrific. It was a game that it wasn't the pitcher's duel we thought it would be with Arrieta and Baumgartner. Baumgartner threw 101 pitches through 5 innings. Aroldis Chapman, they bring him, Joe Maddon brings him out for a 6-out save, and you can second-guess Joe Maddon all day today. You have the Connor Gillespie 2-run triple off of Chapman. And then you have the play of the night where many of you were out and gone, and this is what happened last night as the Giants are able to come out and they get the victory by a score of 6-5.
Panic, it's a high drive to right. Elmora back, out in triples alley. It's off the wall. Here comes Crawford. This game is over. And they're mobbing Joe Panic at third base as the Giants have won in the 13.
Joe Panic, that's the guy there that gets it done. There was no panic last night for the Giants. So this is what it's like when you have a big league baseball town. You're sitting there and you're on every pitch, on the seat of the edge of your seat on every pitch. Me, on the other hand, I'm talking with agents last night about who the next general manager of the Diamondbacks is going to be and why they can't find anybody while the game's going on. And I can throw out a whole bunch of names, and it'd be really fun to throw guys in here that aren't going to be in here, or names that just make sense. I'm not going to do that. When there's something of substance, it's just how I am. Just call me guilty. I'm just not going to be one of those that throws it out there today, because there's a lot of names running around the Diamondbacks. And I really don't care. After what I saw last night, that was just what you want in sports in every way, shape, and form. And then you have the Dodgers game earlier in the day. So today, it's just this simple. I'm going to be back this afternoon, a little bleary-eyed, maybe catch up before the Dodger game gets going against the Nats. But they're going to throw Kershaw out there today. So Dave Roberts is saying, with Kershaw throwing this afternoon for the Dodgers, we have to win. This is it for us. And obviously, it is must win, but they're not looking at game five. They're looking at just now. It's like last night, the decision to pitch Aroldis Chapman by Joe Maddon is getting second-guessed because Chapman had 1 2-inning save in his career. Just one. And they bring him in last night, and the guy's doing the game. Matt Vasgersian was the lead play-by-play guy last night, and he was dumbfounded. Chapman came in with two on. He gets Hunter Pence to strike out. He thought the Pence would be bunting. That's hard to bunt 100 miles per hour coming at your head. Well, now that they had to burn Chapman last night, they got him out of there eventually. But how good is Aroldis Chapman going to be today? And here's the bigger story. If the Giants win today, if they win today, tomorrow is game five, not Thursday, not Friday. It's going to be 3 games in 3 days. So you got to turn right back around And the Cubs are going to have a big game, John Lackey, tonight. John Lackey's been around forever. John Lackey's older than Eric, I think. 2002 World Series Game 7 winner, and he actually won in a couple of years ago with the Red Sox. He's throwing today against Matt Moore. So I am all about the playoffs today. I am so geeked. Now, over in the American League side, Cleveland and Toronto. Yeah, I know, it's Toronto. Cleveland's a great story. Cleveland's a great story. We know this, that the Cactus League in spring training will once again be absolutely nuts. Whatever happens to the Giants and Cubs, whoever loses that, and then whoever wins it, and then you have the Indians fans, they're going to want to come out here and see their team over in Goodyear. It's going to be great for us.
Forget Cactus League and spring training. We've got a bigger fish to fry today.
What is that?
Tim Tebow making his debut in the Arizona Fall League. Duh.
It's today? Really?
Call yourself a seamhead.
What city is he playing in?
In the Valley.
We don't know where? Scottsdale?
Yeah, he plays for the Scottsdale Scorpions.
No, but are they at home? Do you know?
I don't know.
See, you're on my case. I'm on your case.
I don't care.
I might want to drive over and see that.
That makes one of us.
I might. But you know there's going to be... Now that you've dropped that on me, you know and I know that there's going to be newsrooms around the Valley. They're going to go out and get Tim Tebow. Coming up, Tim Tebow makes his Valley debut. We'll have it next. And Tim Tebow will say, yeah, it's really exciting to be out here. It's a lot of fun to be out here. There's sports. Ta-da! No, it's just dumb. It's dumb. I'm going to talk to Peter about the ratings slide in the NFL because I think it's time to. Those of you that think I just pick on the NFL, you're not even close to being right. I have a football show that we do on television, okay? We have a football show. We have sponsors that like being associated with football. They like what we do because it's very local. We do a lot of football here on the site, but we also are in the business of telling you like it is, not what you want to hear. The game of football, and it can be a number of reasons, and because Peter King is so tied into the NFL on so many levels, I'm going to run these by him one by one. Chew on this for a second. The NFL window year to year is down 18%. Fox is down 9%. NBC Sunday Night is down 16%. Monday Night Football, lowest night since 2006 last night when they acquired the rights. I don't know about you. I don't have the time to watch Derek Anderson hand off to Fozzie Whitaker unless I have a fantasy football team. There is absolutely no other reason to watch last night. None. I don't need to see Graham Gano living here in Arizona in October unless he's on my fantasy football team. And that's a bit of a stretch. So the lowest ratings ever in Monday Night Football since going to Big Bad ESPN happened last night. Now you could say, well, there's the Cubs game, Cubs and Giants. And yeah, there's a lot of people watching the Cubs Giants. But if you just look across the board, the politics and the political scene in our country has completely taken over sports. There's no denying it. Every night on cable, the top five, top six, top seven shows in terms of people watching are political. Whether you like Trump or you like Clinton or you hate them both and you don't get it, whatever it is, you are in the minority. Doesn't mean that I'm going to sit here every day and talk politics. There's still an audience here. But I think our audience is one that has other interests than just what's going to happen to the backup left tackle of the Cardinals. I don't care. Don't care. I want to see them go out and play well this week against the Jets. It's not that hard to dissect. And I think fans across the people that consume media are jumping off in droves. Now, will they come back after the election is over? Will they come back around Thanksgiving? Or as the product, as we have sat here for years and pointed out concussions, off-the-field stuff. I don't know, Eric, is Red Zone Channel, do you have Red Zone Channel?
I don't. I have the Sunday ticket, so.
Do you think Red Zone Channel is taking away?
Yes, I do. I also think this little phone that we use every
day
is taking away. And I think that, like last night, there was no Cam Newton, and the Panthers are not a good team, and it's an election season, and they were playing Tampa Bay. I mean, there's so many factors right now working against the NFL, And honestly, Brad, the quality of play in the NFL this year hasn't been good. Let's just call a spade a spade.
Let's call a spade a spade.
You've got 17 teams in the league that have an under 500 record in week six. That's not good.
You have one undefeated team left.
You have one? Yep, just the Vikings.
Just the Vikings. And so we're not sitting here bashing on football. You may think I am, or we are. No, we're looking at just what is. It goes back. Mark Cuban said hogs get slaughtered. You guys want to put this stuff out there? I don't know. Am I going to watch Thursday night Broncos and Chargers? Probably, because I sleep with a girl who wears Chargers pajamas. So it's probably in my best interest to stick with that girl and show that I'm interested. And it's kind of fun to watch the Chargers gag every game away too. So we'll talk with Peter King next, and then Michael Fabiano. So Peter King, I'm going to ask Peter what's going on in the league from his view, and also about the Cardinals-Jets matchup. That's on the other side. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Peter King is with us now, the Monday morning quarterback. Things across the National Football League, not just on Monday mornings, but around the clock. Great staff. They did a terrific piece last week on Kurt Warner and his son Cade out here. That's over at the MMQB. I want to cut through the ratings slide of the NFL with you in quick manner, because you wrote about it Monday, and now the numbers have come out from over the weekend, Peter, and NBC's down 16%, Fox is down 9%, NFL is down 18% year to year on ESPN. We could say it was Trump. We could say that it was a whole bunch of things. So let me just run through these items and give me a quick thumbnail if you believe this is part of it. The Red Zone channel, do you believe that's part of the reason why ratings are down across the board in the NFL?
Well, the NFL is trying to figure out how to ratingize the Red Zone channel, because a lot of people watch the Red Zone channel. Indeed, when I'm home most often on a Sunday, that is what I will watch, because you can see everything. But I believe that's a factor. The thing is, though, it hasn't really changed since last year.
Right.
So why would there be this colossal decline when I would assume the same people who watched the Red Zone channel last year are watching it again this year?
Okay. Player safety. Do you believe that's part of the reason?
I do think that that's it. I think that youth football numbers are down. Although flag football is not down, but youth football numbers, tackle football, you know, at a very young age, those are down. And I think there are some parents, because of the movie Concussion, because of a lot of things about the dangers of football, are down. You know what is so bizarre to me, though, honestly, about this, Brad? Every time there's a big MMA show, people get so excited about that. And I've not read one story or heard one thing from anybody in the media that says, hey, MMA might be dangerous long term for the participants, for their long term brain health. Aren't people kicking each other in the head?
Yeah.
And aren't people beating each other in the head? And again, that's independent of anything about football, because football obviously is dangerous as well.
A lack of star power. Now, with Tom Brady coming back, suddenly that'll be a shot in the arm for the league. Do you buy into that part?
Well, I asked Brian Rolopp, the EVP of media for the NFL, on Friday about that. And, you know, obviously there's no specific way to actually measure that. But I have to believe that Peyton Manning, who was one of the biggest draws in all of football for years, him being gone and Brady gone for the first 4 weeks of the year, and he comes back in week five to play a regional game that's not on in many markets in Cleveland, and the game is not a game after the first half hour. So I think that we're going to find out at the end of the day that that's a factor, yes.
Okay, two other items that have been brought up, the election with Trump and Hillary.
That's by far the biggest one. I mean, I had a chart in my column on Monday in which I looked at every election year, you know, of basically in the last two decades. And every single year in those election years, going back 2012, 2008, 2004, 2000, every one of those election years, the NFL ratings are down from the previous year. Now, they're not down as much as this year is, but keep in mind, the numbers of this year are inclusive of a period where Thursday and Monday nights particularly, and then this past Sunday night for NBC, because it went head-to-head with probably the most hotly contested debate in, honestly, in presidential debate history of our lifetime. Keep in mind, this is not for the full year that they're down that much. This is only for, you know, as I wrote, the first 4 weeks. And so everything, I think, is going to change, you know, starting around Thanksgiving. Election will be over, and then we're going to see if indeed all the people who have left watching the NFL, the 15% or whatever it is that they're down, if all those people come back, or do they stay away?
One last item that's been brought up, and that is player conduct. Colin Kaepernick, off-the-field stuff in the last few years, that there was a tipping point, doesn't matter if it's Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, move it forward to where we are today. Do you buy into that too?
I think I don't buy into the Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy stuff, because that's existed forever. Maybe not as notable and as widely discussed, but players have been doing bad things ever in the 32 years I've covered the NFL. But I do believe that without any question, there is a sense among some people. The Colin Kaepernick thing, the national anthem movement, has really enraged some people. How many of those people aren't watching? I get tweets all the time. Man, you're underestimating this anthem thing. I'm not watching football. Well, I don't know. Is that 50 people on my Twitter mentions?
Sure.
Or is it 500,000 people around the country? I don't know. And the other thing is, Brad, I'm always hesitant if somebody says, hey, I'm not watching it because of this. I'm a big Packers fan. So the Packers play the Cowboys this weekend, and you're not going to watch the game because of some guy on another team kneels during the anthem. And again, it could be that you're not going to watch the game, but I've got to believe that a diehard Packers fan is going to watch the game in that case.
Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback. A couple other questions, we let you go. And as always, we appreciate your time each week. You can go to mmqb.com to check out Peter's content through the week. And, of course, a great staff there as well. Cardinals take care of San Francisco. It wasn't the prettiest game aesthetically, but they get the job done. Do you think they righted the ship with the Jets coming here on Monday night?
Well, assuming that Carson Palmer plays and they can do to the Jets what other teams have done to the Jets this year. Now, you know, the offensive line injuries have to be a concern, no question about it. You know, if you're not going to protect Carson Palmer, who's basically a statue, it's one of the biggest stories to me in the first month of the season has been the Jets' defensive front being mortal. I would have said they were the best in football coming into this year, and they certainly haven't played that way. So, you know, that is a big help, I think, for the Arizona Cardinals this week. I would just say this, that I just hope for the Cardinals' sake that they concentrate on moving the chains Sunday or Monday. You know, they play instead of looking for the home run consistently, you know, they become singles and doubles hitters in this game.
And I think they've done that this season, Peter. It seems to me, you know, David Johnson had the breakout game. There was a lot of hype around him. When I hear people comparing him to a future Hall of Fame running back, I just want to cringe. Let's just let the kid breathe a little bit.
Well, but you're right about that. But I would say this, Brad. I mean, and I wrote this on Monday, if I had to take one running back in football right now for the next 5 years, I would take Johnson, because I think he has proven to be such a good, versatile back. And while he's not Darren Sproles in terms of making people miss,
sure,
he is really good in the open field.
Game you're most looking forward to this weekend, is it that Packers-Cowboys matchup, or do you have another one, Peter?
I think the Packers and Cowboys, because I think that, you know, whatever the Cowboys say, if Dak Prescott plays great, they're going to be very hard-pressed after their bye to put Tony Romo back in the starting lineup. They could, and they wouldn't be wrong to do it, but I think it's going to be a difficult decision for that franchise. I think Green Bay is going to win the game, but Dallas absolutely could win the game. Green Bay just has not resumed its role as the sort of explosive team that they were a couple of years ago.
As always, appreciate your time, Peter. Thanks. Talk next week.
Thank you, Brad.
There's Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Always good to catch up with Peter on a weekly basis, things around the National Football League. You can check out Peter's content at mmqb.com. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Let's go now to Los Angeles, a guy who never has an off week, a bye week. Well, he might have some off weeks in terms of his teams, but Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer, NFL.com, NFL Network, senior fantasy analyst, all things fantasy football. What is the hot button issue in fantasy football this week to you?
Well, number one, I have plenty of down weeks. I can promise you that, especially in the leagues where I drafted Todd Gurley. But, you know, I think the biggest story coming out of the week was the return of Tom Brady and how he said he had rust. I mean, I didn't see any rust. Did you see any rust?
I didn't see any rust.
Yeah, he was tremendous. And to me, not only that, but also, and you know, I talked about this in the preseason. We're starting to see these young running backs emerge. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel Elliott, every week he gets better. 29 points last week. David Johnson, 30 points. Tevin Coleman, who I'm so happy for the young man because he had that sickle cell trait, and I was worried that he was going to see a limited snap count, and he played great. Jordan Howard's emerging as a very good fantasy running back. Carlos Hyde is finally meeting his expectations under Chip Kelly. Melvin Gordon just keeps scoring touchdowns after last year. He didn't score any. DeMarco Murray, not on the younger side of the running back stage, but he's been one of the best backs in fantasy football this season. So those are some of the bigger stories. And even though Odell Beckham Jr. scored a touchdown, I think a lot of fantasy fans are worried about him right now because he's got one score through 5 weeks, and that Giants offense, it's a mess right now.
Well, I'm getting a lot of questions for the segment about Dez Bryant to put to you. What do you do with Dez?
You hold on to him until he's back. To be quite honest with you, I don't know what his status is going to be for this week. It's too early in the week. Mm-hmm. There's the chance he could end up playing against the Packers, and wouldn't that be something? Because we all remember, at least me as a Cowboys fan, remembers that catch that was a catch.
Yes.
That wasn't a catch, but it was a catch.
Ripped your heart out.
At Lambeau Field a few years ago in the postseason. But yeah, hold on to him. And to be honest, things are going to get better because they can't get worse for Dez. He hasn't been the same fantasy wide receiver since he's been playing without Tony Romo. And even with Dak Prescott playing as well as he has, Dak Prescott's not taking a lot of shots downfield. When Tony Romo returns, and if Jerry Jones is a man of his word and says, well, Romo's going to be my quarterback, Dez Bryant's value is going to skyrocket because Romo will take those chances downfield where the Cowboys offensive coordinator Scott Linehan apparently feels like he doesn't feel comfortable with Dak going downfield too often. So that's clearly clipping Bryant's value when he's active.
Michael Fabiano with us right there at the NFL Network. Great stuff. Senior fantasy analyst, NFL.com, NFL Network. All right, let's get deeper into the mailbag here. Jared, running backs, McKinnon on a bye, West, Ingram, Ware. What do I do on the waiver wire? Do I stick with what I have?
Well, you always want to be checking the waiver wire. Ingram is a must play this week, a good matchup. The Kansas City situation is fluid, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would expect Jamaal Charles to start seeing more snaps because he played a little bit in that Pittsburgh game. It was a blowout, didn't play that much. But if Jamal's getting healthier, then if this isn't a committee, I would expect sooner than later Jamal's going to end up being more of the guy in that backfield. So that's a situation that you clearly want to monitor. Now, if you're looking for potential running backs to pick up off the waiver wire this week, there's not going to be a ton of them. Cameron Artis Payne's coming off a good game against the Buccaneers, and he's got a good matchup this week. So he is someone that maybe you can target. You know, Jacquizz Rodgers looked great, but he's on a bye, so you can't really go out and get him. DeAndre Washington in Oakland's another player you could potentially go out and get, but you got to keep tabs on Latavius Murray's status as well.
You're also, I'm getting questions to you about James White and Fozzie Whitaker, along with Quiz, in terms of guys looking at their waiver wires saying these are some of the names, and these seem to be the most popular names that are popping up. What do you make out of White, Whitaker, and Rodgers?
Well, White is not someone that I would play outside of a PPR league. He's actually saw more snaps last week than LeGarrette Blount, but we talked about this. The offense is going to change from Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo to Tom Brady, and now they're going to utilize more pass-catching running backs. And remember, when Deion Lewis comes back, you don't know what's going to happen in that backfield because he was darn good last season. And we'll see what sort of speed he may have left on the operating table. We'll see, but he's going to be a part of that mix too. Rodgers, if you were smart enough to pick him and play him last night, great. I don't know how much value he's going to have moving forward. I think he's probably going to assume a little bit of that Charles Sims role, but Doug Martin's expected to come back after the bye. So unless you're desperate at running back, I don't even know that he's rosterable right now, to be quite honest with you. Whitaker, he's the more explosive of the two backs in Carolina, but Jonathan Stewart's coming back pretty soon. He may even come back this week. You've got to check the status of the veteran throughout the week. But Whitaker's value is going to start to drop now, and that's because Cameron Artis Payton's coming off a big game, and Stewart will be back, we expect, sooner than later.
Tony, in a PPR, Travis Benjamin, Mike Wallace, Amari Cooper, Dez Bryant. Help or stick with what I've got?
I don't know what the status of Dez is. It's too soon. If he's active, you're obviously playing him. You're playing Amari Cooper as well. Of the other two,
Travis Benjamin, Mike Wallace.
Travis Benjamin's got a bad matchup against Denver. He really does. That is a brutal matchup. And Mike Wallace's matchup, it's not all apple pie and cupcakes either. That's a bad matchup as well. So you may want to hit the waiver wire. Maybe look at a guy like Jeremy Curley. Maybe look at a guy like Sammy Coates, for example. Chris Hogan's another player who a wide receiver who's available on the waiver wire as well that you can maybe go out and grab.
Brady or Ryan from Mark.
Why? No, Matt Ryan against Seattle. You know, I made a wager last night. I told everyone on game day morning that if Matt Ryan scored 20 points against Denver, I'd wear a Matt Ryan jersey out of the air. And suffice it to say, I do not have to wear that jersey because he only scored 15. Yeah. And now he goes to Seattle. Now, Seattle has not faced a great number of really good quarterbacks this year at all. But, I mean, it's still Seattle in Seattle off a bye week. And Tom Brady's Tom Brady. If I were that person, I'd be trying to sell Matt Ryan right now.
Tom, I need help on my defense. I've got the Ravens.
Pick up the Bills if that is a team that's available on the waiver wire because they have got some good matchups. They were huge last week, and playing at home against San Francisco is a good matchup. You can stream defenses. I mean, the Ravens, they're not even a terrible play this week because the Giants' offense has been so bad, but I'd rather play Tennessee against Cleveland and their carousel of injured quarterbacks. The Steelers are a good play, too, against Miami because Ryan Tannehill's offensive line is terrible and he's turning the ball over a lot as well.
All right, before you get out of here, who's some guys you like or don't like this week? Just early in the week, who's some guys you like, don't like for Michael Fabiano?
I basically like all the Seahawks. I like Wilson. I like Graham, Kristen Michael, Doug Baldwin. I think Seattle's going to score a lot of points in that game. It's hard not to like Big Ben, Matt Stafford. If Carson Palmer is back this week, which it seems like he is going to be back, you play him against the Jets. Thursday Night Football on NFL Network, I would bench Phillip Rivers against Denver. They're tough, and he has not had a lot of success against them. I said sit Kirk Cousins last week. Well, I'm doing it again this week, a tough matchup against Philadelphia at the running back position. Now, it's come to the point where there's some running backs who have been so bad that people are considered sitting them, like Lamar Miller. Don't do it. Not this week against the Colts. C.J. Anderson, same thing. Don't do it. I talked to C.J. today. He's getting his starting right tackle back. Virgil Green's going to come back. He's a run-blocking tight end. Keep him in your lineup against the Chargers. Jordan Howard, who I've just gushed about, continue to start him. Running backs that I don't like this week, T.J. Yeldon's got a good matchup. He's averaging 13 touches a week. I mean, I can't trust a guy like that. I know you probably have to start Isaiah Crowell. You don't have to like it this week against the Titans, who have been better against the run than a lot of people know. And at wide receiver, I mentioned that I like Doug Baldwin. Larry Fitzgerald Heck, I think John Brown could have a big game against the Jets. Their defense is just bad right now. Kelvin Benjamin has not been good the last couple of weeks. I continue to stick with him. The wide receivers that I'm afraid of, Alshon Jeffrey. Matchup isn't terrible. There are right now are 43 different wide receivers who have been targeted more often than Jeffrey. I don't get it, but
wow. That's
just what it is. And I know you love Terrell Pryor when you picked him up off the waiver wire, but I don't like the matchup this week. And DeSean Jackson, he's got that revenge game aspect going on this week against Philadelphia, but the Eagles have been tough on number one wide receivers. In fact, only one number one wide receiver has scored double-digit fantasy points against him, and that was Antonio Brown.
Wow, good stuff there, Michael. Thanks. We'll talk next week.
All right, brother.
Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network, senior fantasy analyst, NFL.com, NFL Network, the Hall of Famer. Great stuff from him as always. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sometimes just the way this show works, things happen when we're in breaks. Eric just poked his head in. So Colin Kaepernick, I should ask Fabiano about Kaepernick.
Where's our breaking news sounder? The San Francisco 49ers have a new starting quarterback, actually an old one. Colin Kaepernick will be starting this weekend.
So the Cardinals play the 49ers in November, I believe, if memory serves me correct off the top of my head. I know they have the Jets, then they have Seattle here. They go to Carolina, and then they have the bye week. I think the 49ers are after that. So I would wonder how people would react here in Arizona with the Kaepernick thing. Like, talking to Peter about why the NFL ratings are so bad, people accuse Peter of being an apologist for the NFL. I don't think he is. I think he's very fair-minded, level-headed about all of it. I would disagree with him a little bit in the idea that all the off-the-field stuff hasn't started to weigh people down. You know, that it did go with Ray Rice, and it did go with Adrian Peterson, and it did go with Tom Brady, and it did go with Roger Goodell, And now what's happened this year? The ratings are falling like a rock, and Goodell is nowhere to be found. You're not going to see him be quoted in all likelihood. You're going to see Peter had one of the higher-ups in the NFL this week in his column talking about what's going on with the NFL. When you're down 16% in anything, that's not good unless it's BMI, body mass index.
I wonder if it is going to affect advertisers, or if advertisers don't care because all they want to do is be hand in hand with the NFL, because the NFL is king. Even with low ratings, the NFL is king, finger quotes.
Don't you think, though, that like for Fox Sports 1, we're doing a little business stuff here. So Fox Sports 1, people have been ripping on Fox Sports 1, and they went and paid big money to go get Colin Cowherd and Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless. Well, yeah, there's nobody watching that when you have repeats upon repeats of NASCAR, you know, and NASCAR has its place, but it's not what it once was. And so you're sitting there with games last night and today, both games today on FS1, okay? So you're going to have 8 hours where you can let people know, put a billboard up, come see our show. So eventually there's going to be a shift in some of this stuff in viewing patterns and habits. People like to go consume their sports. They consume in all different ways, shapes, and forms. But these TV networks are trying to stay relevant while the audience is just running off to their phones and saying, we don't have time for this.
Well, and you know what's interesting, Brad? I meant to tell you this before the show started. So yeah. The Cubs and Giants play this epic game.
Right.
I was not at the mercy of the remote control for part of the evening. My wife was. And then she punted it to me. And I got the remote control, and I immediately said, okay, the game is on Fox, Channel 10. Nope, game's not on Fox. Okay, the game's got to be on TBS. Go to TBS. Nope, game's on TBS.
Seinfeld
then,
rerun.
Then I went to the MLB Network thinking, oh, this is where the Dodger game was. They probably just did back-to-back games, had a little break in between, went back to the studio, chit-chat, and then tossed it out to San Francisco. Nope.
Nope.
Nope, not on MLB Network. So I had to go through the guide on DirecTV to search through until I found, oh, the game's on FS1. I'm sure the ratings were great. I'm sure everybody watched. But getting to find, at least with the NFL, you know the games are either going to be on NBC, CBS, NFL Network, or ESPN. With these baseball games, depending on when the day, you know, like the games, the World Series are going to be on Fox, of course, because it's primetime. But where these other games are not the easiest to find.
So that's people are going to give up after a while.
Or they'll just go on their phone. And that, you know, like probably what they're doing with the NFL.
People will give up after a while. And, you know, for you fans that would just want to see a good, hard-nosed sporting event without any nonsense, and when I mean nonsense, it's whether it's anthem or players, spousal abuse, domestic violence, there's going to be stuff. Aroldis Chapman was right in the middle of domestic violence, and he was on the mound last night. But he did also pay his penance, in my opinion. I'm also the one that sat here and pounded my fist relentlessly that the Diamondbacks should have gone and got Aroldis Chapman. And they tried to get him, and it didn't work out. And now you see him in the postseason just killing it. I think on one hand, it's very frustrating to see teams make moves that the Diamondbacks could have made. Like Chapman, for example. Is that 10 more wins if he had come here? And what would the Diamondbacks have given up? Is it 15 more wins? I don't know, but I'm betting it's double-digit victories. Like, it's just a move here or a move there. Instead, they make trades like, you know, the deal with Shelby Miller. And I saw where Shelby Miller yesterday, the Diamondbacks timeline, fans are just killing him. It was his birthday. Just absolutely destroying the guy. Like, and there's not many fans that are left.
Or the Reds looked at the Diamondbacks farm system and said, no, the Cubs have more prospects.
All right. So what are we to make out of this on the college football scene? Today at practice at ASU, first team quarterback is Dylan Sterling Cole. Second team quarterback is Jack Smith. Manny Wilkins is held out, not on the field. Are they saving Manny Wilkins? This is the old, we're not going to tip our hand until it's game time. But what if, so ASU is like a 12-point underdog now in that game. Like Vegas is looking at the Sun Devils. They're going to go up there and get crushed. And who would have thought that at the start of the year, this ASU-Colorado game, you brought that up yesterday, would be such a big-time matchup. But who would have thought a 12-point underdog for Vegas on the from Vegas towards ASU on the road? And if they are able to win this game, okay, the blowout loss to USC goes away. Like I had some people yesterday, but that's so disrespectful. ASU's not ranked. Guys, you got boat raced just a week earlier. And if you care about if you're ranked 22nd or 23rd in the nation, you need to aim higher. I don't know. You just need to get over it. Ratings don't matter when you're sitting here in October. They just don't. But let's say this. Some fans threw this at me last night and said, do you see a scenario where ASU, Brad, could be in the playoff? Now, I'm not going to fall off my chair, and Eric just about fell off of his. But the facts are they're halfway through the season, and they only have one loss. Those are facts. Can't deny it. Facts are they still have to go to Washington. So they have a game on their schedule still that will carry significant weight. This week's game carries significant weight. If you're able to navigate through Colorado and you keep winning up to that Washington game, is there a scenario where ASU, now, those of you that want me to deal in realities, I am. They have one loss, and they have the schedule in front of them. If you want to go through that, well, they're going to get killed here, they're going to get crushed there, they're going to get blown out there. You may well be right. I'm just sitting here saying on October 11th, you cannot eliminate a one-loss team from having a shot. I don't think they have a shot at all, but some fans brought it up, and that's the beauty of fandom. Far be it from me to rip their hearts out, put it on the ground, and stomp all over it. But if they come into that Washington game just by chance with still one loss, it'd be very interesting. On the Heisman Trophy front, so I know we're the baseball playoffs is consuming me, and we have Pedro tomorrow. I was texting Pedro last night on some stuff, and he's right there in San Francisco, and I'm so envious and jealous of him just being right in the middle of that great series. So we're going to have a lot of baseball tomorrow, but on the college front, Lamar Jackson at Louisville. So I think you look at Lamar Jackson. Erica, you have Lamar Jackson 1?
Yeah, if I voted, I'd still have Lamar Jackson 1. I think he's the best player in the country.
Do you have JT Barrett on your ballot?
As of right now, he is on my ballot, depending on how the year goes.
So he's rushed for 340 yards, and he's thrown 15 touchdowns. But who's Ohio State played? Do I have to factor that in at this point? He's the most important guy on that team at Ohio State.
No doubt.
Okay, Jabril Peppers up at Michigan. So Harbaugh said after the game, and of course Harbaugh is going to say, he's not going to say JT Barrett's the guy we're chasing. Of course he's going to say Peppers is the guy that is going to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
Well, and you notice he's playing more offense now. So they are really trying to clone him like Charles Woodson. He's he plays everywhere. I mean, yes, he is technically a safety, but he returns punts, he returns kicks. They put him in on certain offensive packages. He's ridiculous, but as of today, Lamar Jackson is still my Heisman Trophy winner.
Jabril Peppers has played 13 different positions this season.
It's crazy.
I mean, if you look at that and say, okay, 13 different positions for Michigan, a team that, it's again, is in a position to be in the playoff. They have the Ohio State game sitting there right in front of them. A guy that's played 13 different positions, he's made 10 tackles for loss already this season. He's averaging almost 18 yards per punt return. He's averaging 31 yards per kickoff return. He's averaging 19.6 yards per carry. So you just look at the numbers that he's putting up. Just the pure, and some people are stat guys and all that. You just look at that, 19 yards a carry? Now, I know he's only run the ball less than 10 times, but he still has that in his dossier. I have to look at that. You put Jake Browning in the discussion?
If he keeps playing the way he is, I don't know how you can keep him out.
Okay, so here's a quarterback that Chris Peterson, the last time he had a quarterback this good was like Kellen Moore probably,
yep,
that he developed.
Yep.
And you look at this kid, and he got his head kicked in last year, and they kept him out there, and they played him. And I think Rich should be doing what – I think Rich should be doing with Khalil Tate, different quarterback, I get it, but should be doing that with his quarterback rather than putting on new backup.
And Browning didn't really play that poorly last year. He threw a few too many interceptions, but he's Peterson compared him a lot to Kellen Moore just in the way that he was completely sort of under-recruited, came from California, and he's a big-time student of the game, and he makes great decisions, and he's leading a team that has a great defense, which can be the quarterback's best friend, so...
And they've already played some teams. They played on the national radar. They took Stanford apart.
Yep. They crushed Oregon. And I know that Oregon is way down, but it's still winning in Autzen by that amount is still something that I think people should take notice of.
And if Washington State keeps winning, okay, mm-hmm, that's going to be a national game.
Sure.
The Apple Cup will have a better, bigger number. And that's the last game of the season. Mm-hmm. So lasting impression. You know, if Arizona State were to manage to keep winning, and I don't know if they, I think they're going to go up to Colorado and get whacked this week. I could be dead flat wrong on that. I hope Kalen Ballage goes back home and has a big game. I think it's a terrific angle.
He has in the past.
Yep. Deshaun Watson, is he out? Is Deshaun Watson out? In my mind, he's out. He hasn't done enough for me this year. There's been a hype train around him.
It's so early, though. We still have half the season left.
He's thrown 7 picks.
So. Yeah, it's still early, though.
7 picks, though. Come on. And is the ACC all that great? People would say, well, Jake Browning's in the Pac-12. Pac-12's not all that great. Well, and then there's the kid Pumphrey over at San Diego State. This is a guy that is what? He's already knocked off Marshall Faulk's. He's broke all Marshall Faulk's records.
He's got no shot at the Heisman, which is unfortunate. He's having a great year, but he plays at San Diego State, and they lost a game to South Alabama, so bye.
Wow. That's not very nice.
Well, just like Ward at Houston. I mean, he could have been a dark horse candidate, but they lost to Navy, and that's the reality of playing at a small school.
I get you. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website. You can check out morning, noon, night, high school, college, pro, things we see around Arizona. Our television show tonight, Brad Sussmatt's Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona. And then, of course, throughout the day, the show repeats over and over and over if you miss Peter King, Michael Fabiano, or any of our stuff. Thanks for being with us.